Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. There was a full moon on Thursday. It snowed a little bit. The sun now goes down before 5 o'clock and will for a while. Cold is here. The kids are still wearing light jackets because they're from here, that's all. And you don't dress warm until you really, really, really have to. And some people have yet to turn on the furnace. The Lutheran Church had heat on last Sunday. It was All Saints Day. And they read the names of all of the departed, the blessed departed, going back, I think, 100 years. It took them 15 minutes, and there were 6 readers reading simultaneously. But you wouldn't want to leave anybody out. Darrell heard the name of his father, Gunnar Tollerud, and remembered his dad. His dad never turned on the furnace in the fall or winter until he could no longer break the ice on the toilet by peeing on it. You would want to be remembered for more than that, but anyway, that's what he remembers his dad for. Deer hunting season started this morning, started early this morning. For some people, started probably 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. You would know that if you lived in Lake Wobegon, because serious deer hunters do not use cologne or deodorant or bathe for 2 weeks before. They do not shave because deer can smell all of these things. And in fact, the night before they go deer hunting, they take their clothes and their boots and they dig them up out of the hole where they've been buried in the backyard for about a week. And they pack up their groceries and they head north up to the hunting shack. And there they stay for 4 or 5 days, a week, whatever they like, eating steak and fried eggs and drinking whiskey and enjoying free speech. It's a sacred ceremony, happens every year. But Clint Bunsen did not go deer hunting this year. To everybody's surprise, what he told people was that 3 years ago he got a 14-point buck, and he shot him clean shot in a deep ravine. Took him about half a day to clean it and get it out of there. But that was his lifelong dream. So mission accomplished. So time to come home. Last night, he and Irene sat there at the kitchen table and ate their chili and their grilled cheese sandwich, and not talking about what was on their minds, of course. They never would after this many years of marriage. He said, so how's your chili? He says, well, same as yours, he said. Okay. So how's your chili? It's fine. Well, so is mine. So good. I was just asking. I was just answering. She's been telling him for years that she wished that he would stop hunting because she worries herself to death that he'll be shot and killed out in the woods. And now that he has finally stopped, she wishes that he would still do it. Hard to explain. It's not that she wishes that he would get shot, but when she said goodbye to him all those years and he would go off in the late fall and go hunting, she would imagine that he had been shot and killed and that the mourning period was over and that now she had sold the house and gotten a good price, and she imagined going to San Francisco, going to New Orleans, going to Boston, and making a new life for herself and meeting new people. And she liked to imagine who she would meet and what they would say. It just was an interesting fantasy. And she's just not used to having him around like this and having to make conversation with him. And he's not used to it either. He misses being out in the woods with his guys. The real reason he's not going is that 2 years ago, Darrell said, is it okay if I invite my brother-in-law, Howard? And what do you say? What do you say? Clint said, well, why don't we take a vote? And Roger spoke up and said, it's fine with me. So there it was. And you had Howard, who was Gloomy Gus, this Eeyore of a character, was always complaining about his health and his kids and politics and church and things nowadays and something he read in the newspaper, and everything is rigged. The world is rigged against you. There's no way you can get away. And then Roger died, and Daryl wondered if Howard's brother Chuck could come with them. What are you going to say? And so Chuck came, who was a kidder, nonstop. Howard called him the Chuckster. You get tired of that after a while, and the fact that he wore his baseball cap backwards just ground Clint's teeth. And then that was the year that Clint fell asleep up in the tree in the deer stand, and he fell out, and he wasn't hurt, but the Chuckster saw it, and he just couldn't let go of it, you know. Well, who's going to go out with Clint, huh? Make sure he's okay. How about a seatbelt for you, Clint, huh? So Clint dropped out this year. He said he had prostate problems, and he just had to pee all the time, and deer can smell pee, but that wasn't it. They said, well, that's easy for you, but what about the rest of us? Now our wives are going to be on us. What are we going to tell our wives? He said, just tell them that you have a deep need to hunt, and if you did not hunt, you would become psychopaths, and you would walk into a Denny's somewhere and start shooting. Just see what they think of that. But he misses it. A man needs grandeur in his life. He feels trapped. Welcome to the club. So does everybody else. We build our own traps. And you drive through Millet, and you feel your traps. Here's a town of people who have no traps. They have no lawn care. They have no obligations. Wrecked cars, old appliances out in the backyards. Car dealer has to be very careful in Lake Wobegon. Clint sells Fords, and you have to be careful how you dress. You have to be careful where you go for vacation. You can't go to Key West. You can't go to Mexico. Maybe a week in Waco, but that's all. And you can't... Your house can't be too fancy, otherwise people will get the feeling that they're paying too much for their pickups. And you can always get a lower price down in the cities. Loyalty only goes so far. He had a deer hunting dream, a strange dream last week, in which deer were driving pickups and they were wearing their John Deere caps. And big, fat dead men were lashed to the front fender of the trucks. The deer were hanging out in Elks clubs, and they were drinking deer beer and telling hunting stories, and one deer had Chuck's body on his truck, and somebody asked him about it, and he said, yeah, me and Whitetail, we saw this guy lumbering across the parking lot towards a Denny's, and we let him have it. He dressed out around 120 pounds. Little bland, you wonder how he tastes. Little bland, but you put some birch leaves on him and he's okay. Not bad. He drove up to Duluth this last week looking for grandeur, looking for the grave of his grandfather. His grandfather was a conductor on that Prairie Queen passenger train that was so famous back in the 20s and the 30s. It ran from San Francisco directly into Duluth, where it met up with steamers that were heading for Europe. It was a beautiful train, the fastest train the world had ever seen. It would go 150 miles an hour on the straightaway of North Dakota, but it carried a billiard table in the parlor car. And when they came in close to Duluth, they would slow down alongside the St. Louis River, and people would stand on the rear platform and they would troll for walleyes. And the train would roll into Duluth, and people would get off and get on the steamers and head over for Europe. 1939, the war was coming on, and they put that Prairie Queen on a boat headed off east to be part of the war effort, and the boat foundered just about 5 miles out of the Duluth harbor, and the engine fell off into 1,000 feet of water, and it's still there. Today, if you hold your head underwater long enough, you can hear the bell tolling. His grandpa was a conductor on that last run to Duluth wearing this beautiful uniform. He looked like a Civil War general, and he stood there at attention as it went off on the ship. And then he died a few years later, and he was buried. Clint got tired looking at gravestones up there. Didn't find Grandpa's gravestone, but he turned, and here he could see through the trees. Here was the lake out there, this magnificent view of the lake and the city of Duluth and the long sand spit of Minnesota Point and the railroad from the Iron Range bringing ore down to the boats that took it away to make the great skyscrapers and the bridges of America. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He thought, that was the gospel last week. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are those who seek grandeur, for they shall find it wherever they look. For all the crap that you have to put up with, you will be rewarded somehow, even if you don't recognize it. For all the cold nights, you will find warmth. For all the times that you fall, you will be uplifted. It will happen. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.